What a joy it is to be with you this morning. And my goodness, how many kids. Such a joy. Oh, wow. This is special. So glad to see the church vibrant with such potential and such a bright future ahead of you. Such a joy. My connection with this church, for some of you that don't know, goes back many years. My dad was a preacher. He was native of Valley Falls. And so over my lifetime, we've always come back to Valley Falls. And the scripture that we read, that was read this morning, portrays perfectly the picture of our mothers and picture of our God. As a kid, 7 years old, I remember I didn't get to know my great-grandfather very much because the only thing I remember of him was at the funeral home. But I knew my grandfather, and my grandmother, who for a long time lived across the street here, that was our refuge. talks about how God is our strength and our refuge. And moms are that. And my grandmother was the refuge for our family. My father was also a missionary and took his family to Brazil. I was only 7 years old at that time. But I want to go back, and as a kid, I remember a story about this little barn hen that was going around with the little chicks, and same story told here with the kids. But I remember reading this story about this hen who, as she was strutting around with her chicks, a fire got started. And the barn caught fire and was blazing, and she gathers her chicks under her wings. And after the fire is over, they just find the mother hen charred, burnt, dead. But when they lifted her wings, the chicks crawled out. She saved her chicks. And this is such a perfect picture of our mothers. And I'm sure all of you have similar stories that you can tell. My mother was originally from Colorado. She left her family, came to Kansas to study at the Bible College, and she ended up meeting my father. And my father was a preacher. He preached here in Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. Not in Nebraska, but Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And my mother gave up her family, all of her history. And my father's family became her family. And mom went, when we first went to Brazil, there were four of us. My older brother was 8, I was 7, my sister under me was 5, and brother under her was 3. And when we went, it was motor airplanes. And on the trip over, one of the motors failed. And I can remember mom being really concerned, as moms usually are. But the pilot was a good pilot, and he was able to take the plane all the way across the ocean. We made it safely. My mother, as most moms do, always put her children first. As I look back, my mother, the only time my mother ever had any store-bought clothes was when we came to America. Because in Brazil, she sewed her own clothes, she sewed our clothing, except for jeans. She never got really good at sewing jeans, so we bought jeans from the store, but my shirts and Everything with the girls' dresses and blouses and everything, she provided that. She was the kind of woman that got up early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, to fix breakfast. And our household grew from four to seven. And my dad traveling around, he always brought people to the house. Our kitchen table was 9 feet long. And we had people that sat around that table. And she always got up early. And I remember one Christmas, we had another missionary family with us. And Mom got up and was fixing pancakes for everybody. In Brazil, we don't have pancakes. And the other missionary lady said, I would never get up in the morning to fix pancakes for my kid. But my mother did. And she provided sacrificially. She never complained. She not only was the mother of seven, but she was also very involved in the ministry. She even played the pump organ, where you had to sit there and pump the organ for the keys to play. And she always received people, because my dad always brought people. And we had an old blind fella that lived with us for a couple of years. And mother never complained about this. Us kids, we always had friends over. And so the house was always a bustling, busy body house. And never heard her complain. She was always so glad to have all of us there. A faithful helpmate. And so involved in the Lord's duty. In Psalm 91, we see also the perfect picture of our God. He covers us, and this is the only place in Bible where you see God portrayed as this hen who opens her wings and covers the chick. And I know all of you can attest to the fact that you feel God's care and concern. Over the years, we all have different experiences, near accidents that were prevented, illnesses where we were healed. God's constant care and concern for us. He covers us. This is a metaphor. God is not actually a hen with wings. This is a metaphor because the mother portrays a perfect picture of who God is. And so as we remember our mothers today, we can remember that God has his arms around us, who protects, who provides. He gathers us under his care. He has his guarding angels, and some people don't believe in angels, but when you study scripture and you see how in the spiritual world, there's a hierarchy similar to what we see in the physical world. And when you read in the scripture, you hear about the angels, the archangels, the seraphim, the cherubim. I'm a firm believer that in the spiritual world, both good and bad, because y'all know the story of how Lucifer rebelled against God, and in Revelations it talks about how the dragon brings one-third of the angels, the stars representing the angels, and he establishes his own kingdom, his counter system against God. And so in both spiritual worlds, you see a hierarchy. We know of the Archangel Gabriel and Michael. In Catholic theology, they also talk about the Archangel Raphael. And we know that these archangels had special duties. Gabriel was a messenger. Michael was a warrior. And so this leads me to believe that under the lower hierarchy, God has established guardian angels who guide over his people. We once received a family in our home. We were in Wichita during a furlough, and a friend of ours asked if we could receive a Chilean preacher that was traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast and was coming through our area and needed a place to stay, and so he stayed with us. And then the next morning he said that he had seen angels in the hallway of the apartment that we were living in. And countless times we hear of guardian angels, of angels who make themselves present. And God is concerned for each and every one of his children. He has a special care, a special concern for each and every one of us. I can't affirm to you that there's an angel that is designated specifically to take care of each of you individually, but it could be. But the fact is that God commands his angels to guard over us. We are under his care. We are under his wings. His arms are around us as he guards and protects us. He is our refuge and our fortress. In times of need, we have someone to turn to. In times of stress and danger, we know there's someone who cares. In the physical world, we see so much disruption. We hear of many homes that have been destroyed because of different issues. But we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect and who is concerned individually for each one of us. He's concerned for his people. He guards and protects us. We know where to go when we need to be uplifted. And that's why it's so important that we do our reading in Scripture, spend time in prayer, spend time alone with him, because this provides the nutrients for our inner being, because we were made in the likeness of God. We have a body, we have a spirit, we have a soul. And God cares for his people. And in the scripture it says that he does this day and night. Here in America you have a saying, 24/7. Here it's typical and everybody understands what that means. But in Brazil they don't use that expression. And so I usually have to tell them, you know what 27 is? No. I says, well, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And God calls us to be Christians 24/7. God cares for us 24/7. And I've preached on the book of Jonah, and one of the things that we learn through Jonah is that, like we say to our kids, you know, I see you. Well, we need to remember God sees too. God is constantly overlooking us, 24/7. In Psalm 121:4, it says, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. It's 24/7. He's concerned for us. He's concerned for the entire world. And as we sang this morning, when we call upon the Lord, he answers. He answers. He hears. He understands. He knows. He knows what goes on in our heart. He knows what goes on in our mind. He understands us. He created us. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's attentive 24/7, constantly working to care for you and for me. What a wonderful God we serve. And as a missionary, I get the privilege of seeing this everywhere I go. During our furlough, furlough's called a rest time, vacation time, but we're just as busy on furlough as we are when we're on the field, because every weekend we're in a different church. We got in on the 1st of July. I've been to Topeka, I've been to Tonganoxie, I've been to Westmoreland. We're here today. Next Sunday we'll be in Junction City, and every weekend we're in a different church. We're going to be as far as Texas, Carthage, Texas. If all works out, we'll be going up here north to visit family. And then when we head back in Florida, so we travel quite a bit. And it's such a comfort, such a blessing to have churches like you. This church has been supporting the mission work in Brazil for 65 years. And that's another thing I'm so proud, so thankful to the American people who are faithful, who are constant. This weekend, during the week, we got to go to Branson for a couple of days. And another reason why I wanted to go to Branson wasn't just for the tourism, because there's a lady that lives in Branson who was originally from Wilsey, Kansas. My dad officiated her wedding. She's 93 years old. My dad officiated her wedding, and she's been supporting the mission work for 61 years. And we didn't know each other personally. I've been full-time in the ministry in Brazil for 47 years, and we had never met each other. And yet she's a faithful supporter, supports financially, and more important, the prayers. It's through your prayers that God reaches out and gathers us under his wings, his arms around us, and takes care of us. It's because of people like you that not only here, but all the other mission organizations that you support. The car we're using, that's one of the most difficult things when you come on furlough, is where are we going to stay and how are we going to get around? Well, thankfully, a sister in Christ in Topeka, she's a widow, and so she opened her house and we use the spare bedroom. So we have a place to stay. And there's a mission organization out of Kentucky called Valley of Baca. At one time, they had like 23 cars. They're down to 13. So if anybody has a second car they want to get rid of and donate to a mission organization, they have cars that they provide for missionaries to be able to get around while they are here. They do it in a very personal, loving way. Each car gets a name. Ours is the Black Hammer, and said it's been a very faithful car. We put a lot of miles on when we're on furlough as we travel around visiting the different churches. So I want to express my appreciation, my thanks to you for your faithfulness. Some of you had never met me before. Some of you never knew my parents. Some of you do. Some of you knew my grandparents. This is a very special place for us. It's incredible that being raised overseas, we're always coming back to Valley Falls. Both of my parents are buried here. Two of my brothers are buried here. And this is kind of a home away from home. And even though we don't see each other very often, you've been faithful, you've been supporting. And this is so important for those overseas. And God not only has seen to it that I continue reaching out to Brazil, I teach at the Bible College, I preach it around different churches, I've been invited to other African countries, I've been to Angola, I have a very special connection with the church in Angola, but in January, if all goes well, I'll be going to Guinea-Bissau, and then mid-year next year, go to Mozambique. And why these places? Because they speak Portuguese. And with my fluency in Portuguese, my Portuguese is almost as good as my English. And so I can just immediately, when I arrive, begin teaching and preaching. And we have missionaries that have been recently sent to these two countries, because in Angola, it is a totally Angolan church, totally native church. Really a fantastic story of how this church came about. And in Mozambique, when we opened the church in Sobradinho, this missionary went to Mozambique. And the same time that we've been ministering to the church in Sobradinho, him working in Mozambique, they've opened up 90 different congregations. They have a school of over 5,000 children. And the interesting thing is that most of them are Muslim, but they prefer sending their children to a Christian school rather than a public school. And so such a grand opportunity that is being offered. And as we travel around, literally can feel, sense God's care, concern, and protection. Because He cares for you. He knows you by name. He knew you before you were even born. When you were yet in the womb of your mother, God knew you. He knows you. He cares for you. And so we have someone to go to in times of need. We have a place to go in moments of despair. When we just need an encouraging word, we have one that we can turn to. And so I encourage you, and I praise God for all the young families that are here. Because as I travel around, that's not the case in many churches. In many of our churches, it's the elderly, which, by the way, is when I go, for 13 years, we operated a daycare. My wife was the director, and this was our social outreach to the community. We live in a community, the city of Sobradinho is over 50,000 people. And when we opened up the daycare, believe it or not, there was not a single daycare. And so we saw this as an opportunity to establish roots and get the church known in the community. But after 13 years, the government opened up daycares, some other private daycares were started, and other social programs, and we were down to like just 5 kids, and financially was not feasible to continue that, because you have to have a cook, you have to have the director, you have to have the janitor, and with only 5 kids who only paid a stipend, we decided to close the daycare. But I've noticed that the senior citizens are increasing in number. And I'm there myself, knee problem, back problem, the old story. And so when I go back now, one of the projects that I want to get started is a special program for the senior citizens. Because I've noticed in the churches in our community, and there's over 50, I've heard say over 100 different denominational churches in the city, but nobody does anything for the senior citizens. The government has not cared for the senior citizens. Our current Brazil goes through a lot of the same things you go through here. It's amazing how similar we see the split between leftist ideology and conservative ideology in Brazil, where right now the president that's in his third term and in his third year of the third term is a socialist, communist, and believes in huge government, and the more people that can depend on the government for him, the better. And it's gotten to the point where those that depend on the government are making more money than those that have their job. And so they don't want to work. It's hard to find somebody that will work because they make more just dependent on the government than reaching out to be on their own. And so we see a lot of this going on, and we covet your prayers. We're going to have presidential elections now in October, and we do have a Christian candidate. And if he's elected, well, this will be the second time in all Brazil history that we'll have a Christian president. We had one president who considered himself a Lutheran. All the others have been Roman Catholics. Brazil's was founded on Catholic ideology, Catholic theology, and so that's very prevalent, and it's who Brazil is. But we have a young man, he's the son of the president that was president before the one we have now, Bolsonaro. I don't know if any of you followed any of Brazil news. Bolsonaro was a conservative. He wasn't a declared Christian, but he's married to a very devout Christian. And his son is now candidate for the presidency, and he is a declared Christian. And so we covet your prayers that Brazil can continue receiving the gospel and hearing of this wonderful God who shelters us, who cares for us, who provides for us, who knows us, and who desires. In Timothy and in 1 Peter, we read that God desires that everyone be saved. God does not have any pleasure in death. You and I were not created for death. We were created to live. And that's why he sent his son Jesus, so that we could have eternal life. But people need to hear that. And as I look over the history, I see the same thing happening in Brazil. From one generation to the next, we see people distancing. Less and less people seem to understand the value and the privilege of having Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so I'm excited. I'm so glad to see this church vibrant with so many young kids. And you kids back there, you're special. You're in a special category. And hang on to that. It's such a precious history that later on you will look back and you will be so thankful that you have this church, you have these people who care about you, and you have a God who is concerned and cares for each and every one of us. What a wonderful God we serve. What a privilege it is to carry the name Christian. You who are disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, may God bless you. Would you stand for me for a word of prayer? It's such a privilege when we can take a step forward and declare our faith. And even in America, that sometimes is dangerous. We have to be kind of careful of what we do, how we do. But we need to take the steps of faith before the grace and the love of God. There was the law, and Jesus said that he didn't come to do away with the law, but that he came to fulfill it. But unless you understand the law, you don't fully appreciate the grace and the love of our Lord. And so I pray that you would take this to heart and understand that as that hen that goes around and the chicks are with her and they follow her and they don't stray far away. Take that. Remember this image, this metaphor. Don't stray. Don't deviate. Stay faithful. Stay close. Stay under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be present today in a very special way. We give thanks to you for who you are, for what you have been, and for what you always will be, for you are the same. We pray for our mothers who have the difficult task, the responsibility, and who carry this burden in such a wonderful and beautiful way. We thank you for the mothers who have been concerned, who have cared for their children. We pray for those mothers who, for some reason, might not have had the opportunity, who have not understood that the message of hope and grace would reach their lives. We thank you for this church, for their faithfulness, for their steadfastness. We pray that you would continue blessing in a very special way. Bring into existence that which does not exist, giving this, your people, all the more opportunity and privilege to speak out in your name. And if there's anyone here this morning that has not yet made a public commitment to you, that they would find in their heart and the courage to speak out for you. In Jesus' name, amen.